mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 336. I'm Adam, and no, I'm sorry, that would be completely unethical. And here's Debbie Melrose.
Freedom, freedom, freedom.
Mary Lang.
Go to the place of sleeping. Go to the place of darkness and light.
Andy Nunny.
Only if I lose.
And Bobby Cartlett Sloan.
We'll all be done for!
Yeah, that was a good one. Right. This is the last 20 Megabyte podcast before the new series, so the journey will grind to a pause. We're actually docking in, dropping in a travelodge, essentially, for 12 weeks while the new series is being reviewed. So this is the last dip into the classic series until June, maybe, if I had a rough estimation. What's quite different about what we're doing this week, Andy accidentally last time pressed a button and we had a video Skype and realised we could all do video Skype. So we're all really excited because we could actually see each other for the first time during the podcast. So, unfortunately, we can see Debbie, but hey, we have to put up with these things.
She's frozen again.
You notice every time Deb's picture freezes, she's smiling. It's quite funny. Really.
What is that? Oh, yeah. Well,
we're
now Kirby's
life shows
as Adam.
That's the
first one. Yes, how timey-wimey.
Nice teeth, Debbie.
I have the technology.
Yes.
Yeah. I have terrible teeth. I should hide them more.
Yes, you need a faster internet. Anyway, so here we are. Yes, we're going to be looking at the mutants this week. So how is everyone, by the way? Debbie couldn't be bothered to be on the show last time.
You mean Daleks? Those mutants?
No. So Debbie's gone all quiet.
Do something!
Yes, thanks, Deb. Not answering the question, though. That doesn't work particularly well in an audio presentation, showing me a Dalek. She's just showing me one of her Daleks listeners. That really works, isn't it? Yes, you couldn't be bothered to be on the show last week.
I have to put... Master?
No,
master.
Things happened, occurred, were solved, everything's
fine. I heard there was a bit of sulking going on.
A little bit, yeah.
I don't know what this is.
What's the matter, Kirby? You've gone very quiet.
He's solving a problem.
Yeah, I have a window popped up. I have no idea what it is.
Click on it. We'll see what virus it downloads.
Anyway, master, I need to go let the cat out. But I didn't know she was on fire.
The cat's on fire.
What?
Anyway, we'll warn everybody that. All right, thank you. Isabella will probably be joining us later on because she wants to do the quiz. But in the meantime, where's Kirby gone? We're just going to start.
Goodness
sake!
Just told us.
So how is everybody? Mary, you look absolutely ravishing. Is that your?
Yes, thank you.
Is that because that you just practicing for when you meet Paul?
Are you on the wine? No, you're drinking cola.
Yeah, I was going to be, but it's buried under a pile of stuff in the background over there somewhere. I might go on to something a bit stronger later on when She Who Must Be Obeyed's gone to bed, but I think, funny fine, we're going to finish before she goes to bed, so I better stay on the soft stuff. Okay, everyone, we're talking about the mutants, and it's funny to see that...
Oh, you know something? I didn't even start the video up. Good grief.
Doesn't matter.
That's how installed you were.
So the mutants begins with the title sequence.
Wait.
What? And then
let me start the DVD. Good grief.
Sorry, everybody. Kirby hasn't started the DVD yet.
Have done that like half an hour ago.
Alan T. Butcher says, "Is let the cat out a euphemism?"
Nice pizza.
Only for me.
Anyway, can we get going? Right. Anyway, as I was saying, the mutants begins with the beginning of Monty Python's Flying Circus. Anyway, yeah. So
which among you expected that old guy to turn to the camera? And
yeah.
Say,
yeah. All of us, I think, were waiting for that one.
So yeah, and Michael Palin very quickly dies. and then. After a bit of sort of groundwork on this, literally groundwork on this planet Solos, we go to the doctor's lab and a black ball thingy arrives. He calls it a box. It's not quite box shape, is it?
Like one of those old footballs you used to have at
school. Yeah, it's an old football, isn't it? Yeah.
It does a bit, yes.
Yeah.
But he quickly realises that he's got a little task to do for the Time Lords. Did someone say something?
Yeah, Andy's on the red now.
Is he?
Yeah.
We're slowly losing Andy.
Yeah. he says that Joe's not allowed to go with him, but she says, wait for me, and then off they go. And
the TARDIS conveniently stays open for her.
The TARDIS?
Yes, great reference to the tradesman's entrance, I thought.
Yes, yeah, just in the nick of time. Anyway, so they land on the PlayStation? Space station. Well, it's not. What is it? Sky base or something like that it's called, isn't it?
Sky base
1.
Yeah, and then we meet...
That's one of your quick questions gone for Burton.
We meet Kai and the other chap. Who is it? Valen? Is it Valen, the other chap? Varen?
Varen,
yeah. Varen, yes.
They don't like each other very much, but they all seem... Because Varen, I think, is sort of in sort of cahoots initially with the overlords. And obviously Kai's not particularly impressed with this particular... And so they do this strange sort of facing off thing where they sort of put their arms out in front of each other. And Andy's just showing horseradish sauce to us all. God knows why. And Sainsbury's horseradish sauce.
Challenge accepted. Yeah.
So anyway, there's a bit of a what would you call it when there's a small scuffle ensues, and then yeah, we meet the marshal who's at the beginning of the story is a bit mad, but not too mad. Will you just wave there, Mary? I'm trying to concentrate on the episode here.
It's just too much fun.
So, yeah, eventually... Yeah,
I'm sure this is distracting to the listeners.
Yeah, they can't see it. Then we meet... we meet Cotton and Stubbs. Now, I was always very critical of the chap who plays Cotton in this... watching this story, because his acting did seem to be particularly bad. But I'm not too convinced now on watching it this time. It is fairly bad... But when watching him, if you don't listen to his voice, his actual physical acting's not too bad. I'm just thinking it sounds to me like he's trying to stifle a Caribbean accent, and it's taking over his vocalization of his lines and stuff. But it didn't really irritate me anywhere near as much. This time than previous viewings. In fact, I felt a little bit sorry for him and quite enjoyed his performance on this particular.
Well, I always thought when the actor's name is Rick James. And of course, I always think of Rick James as being the American funk singer. So that's what I keep thinking of.
And there's nothing on Wikipedia for this particular actor.
That's a shame. Toby Haydock. Toby Haydock knows quite a bit about him. But on the whole, he wasn't that good in this story, but I just think it's because he was trying to stifle his accent.
You know, the guy who played Stubbs, I'm sure I've seen him in other things, and I can't...
Yeah, he's been in loads of things, but like you say, trying to pinpoint what he's been... Probably. I think all these actors have been in various TV shows. Yes. So anyway, then we meet Christopher Plummer, briefly.
Very briefly, yeah.
And because he was previously... in the Silurian story, and he will be... Where else is he going to be? He's going to be in future stories as well. Oh, he's certainly going to be in the...
Who are you talking about?
Jeffrey Palmer.
Jeffrey, what do I call him? Christopher Plummer?
Palmer. Yeah, I'm thinking...
Palmer. Just making sure you're paying attention. Jeffrey Palmer, everybody, yes.
When he steps into the room, the acting level just rises for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And he dies off.
Yeah, the bar is raised.
He was in the Kylie Minogue story, wasn't he?
Have you ever seen a series called Butterflies? It's a British series.
Life is like a butterfly.
Is it a quintessentially British series?
Very British.
It's definitely quintessentially. Nicholas Lyndhurst is in it. Mm-hmm. And it's...
Wendy Craig.
Wendy Craig, yes. Mm-hmm. And who played the other brother?
I can't remember.
Oh, no, he was supposed to be like a babe of the era. I can't remember what he was.
Yes, Nicholas Lyndhurst was the one. I can't remember who the other brother was.
You like my USB hub?
No.
I love it.
Oh, ecstatic.
He's got a TARDIS USB hub, listeners. It's really not working as an audio set presentation. Anyway, yes, back to the story. So Jeffrey Palmer. I always think of him when... Him being in in the Doctor in Fawlty Towers. I'm a doctor and I want my sausages.
Oh, yes. Yes.
See, that's what time it is.
Thank you, Kirby. Right, so the Doctor, meanwhile, is trying to find out who actually this box is for.
What was that?
Never mind. And
it was everything. It's now on the floor.
The Marshal wants to get into the box, so he orders them to start blasting it. And I think he gets Yeager in to try and blast it. And the Doctor actually sort of agrees to try and get into the box means that the Time Lords wouldn't particularly agree with. And there's a big meeting between Kai and his cronies and Varan and the Overlords, which is manipulated somewhat by the Marshal. And then, Kai makes a run for it, and the box starts opening as he goes past. Yes?
This is for you! Wait! This is for you!
And somehow Joe ends up following Kai, but Kai keeps saying that if she goes out with him, you know, the atmosphere, etc. will eventually kill her. And the Marshal more or less forces the Doctor to join Yeager in his experiments, and they try and get the box open. Kai sort of assaults one of the guards to get a mask for Joe, and then hides her in a cave. Someone coughing.
Yeah, the lovely Dawn was roast miffed the fact that I have not filled her glass up first.
I must say I have to agree with the lovely Dawn.
We're back on the dining room table, Master, now.
Yes, Kirby.
I like the Marshal's little communication device slash base.
You know what that reminds me of, Kirby? It reminds me of Terry Wogan on Blankety Blank.
It's Terry Wogan, isn't it?
But this is before Terry Wogan actually had it on Blankety Blank, but must be where he got the idea from. And Blankety Blank's quite topical because the American version of Blankety Blank is the show in which our...
Match Game.
Yeah, the theme tune for You Won't Get This One is from... Oh, Debbie looks really surprised.
I didn't know.
There you go.
I don't know any of this. I just like his communication device.
Yeah. So meanwhile, Joe...
Like I said, it's also kind of a mace.
A mace? Oh, yes, of course it is, yes. Yeah,
it's a ceremonial stick.
It's a prop that he really did enjoy having to use, isn't it?
You would extend it sometimes, like it's a pointer.
Yeah. So gradually through the story, the ramping up
good
of
shot, Kirby.
What?
Good shot, Kirby.
I missed the hamper.
I'm just saying, gradually through the story, the Marshal ramps up his. His sinisterness. It's quite low at the beginning of the story.
He's megalomaniac.
Yeah, no, but it's quite mild in the earlier parts of the story. But as each episode, it ramps up a bit more, which is quite good. It gives a bit more into his evilness as you go through the story.
I think he was evil. I thought he was a total prat, to be honest. I didn't think he was evil. I thought he was incompetent.
He was evil eventually, wasn't he?
Nah,
he was crazy.
He was a failure. He was a typical... It was like British Empire, 19th century, failed colonial governor. And that's what he was. And he was a complete loser.
I think he was a sort of exaggerated version of that, yes. And he was a loony too, yes.
Yeah.
There's a point in which they used Match of the Day's little... they used to use a Match of the Day, the little where you draw on the screen to show where the players are going. They used that. It looks rather rubbish on this particular thing, but obviously they had the technology and they wanted to bring it into Doctor Who because they thought it was quite futuristic. Ended up being quite rubbish.
It probably was in 1972 or
73,
but not now.
Yeah, it wasn't very good. Have you anything coming from the listeners? No, still anti-butcher. How many viewers have we got? 3. Woohoo! There's a point in which Varan's, or son of Varan, gets killed as well by...
That's right. He's only credited as son of Varan.
Doesn't the Marshal kill him? This doesn't make Varan particularly happy. And he grabs the Doctor, and you will die, die, Overlord, or words to that effect. I think the cliffhangers in this story are quite good. Yes, thank you, Mary. I think the cliffhangers in the story are actually quite good, because I watched these one per day last week, and I quite enjoyed watching it in that format, because it's a bit like the way we watched it when it was out once a week. But you know, you get that little, ooh, how does he get out of it sort of situation. What are you doing, Kirby?
That they're too boring to watch one after another.
Kirby's playing with his phone. Anyway, right, episode 3. So the Doctor gets out of his little clinch with Varen by doing some sort of and his Vulcan nerve grip thingy. They go down to the surface where... what do you think of the mutant costumes? I thought they were actually quite good.
They were silly.
The mutants themselves were silly, but I thought the costumes were quite good.
Yeah, they're actually not that bad for this era. Who actually? They're quite good.
Yeah.
As a child, they would have definitely freaked me out a lot more than some of the previous costumes.
They reminded me of the ants.
The Zarbi.
But these are much more flexible, and they were even able to convey kind of sadness and, you know, pitifulness and all that at times.
They managed to look sort of downtrodden, didn't they? Plastic mask.
I thought they were quite good.
Helmet thing.
But basically, Kai has been able to control them up to recently, and he's trying to protect Joe from them in the caves. But Joe, I think she eventually disappears. She wanders or gets disappeared, gets found by this this chap in a silver costume.
Yes.
And she collapses, and then she wakes up back in the caves again. And
Professor Sondergaard brought her back, didn't he?
Yeah, that was a bit later though. But the Doctor, meanwhile, goes looking for her and finds Kai, and Kai says, "Well, she was out around here just a minute ago," sort of thing. You know? Varen, meanwhile, goes back to his village and finds Michael Palin. This must be another Michael Palin, because the other Michael Palin got done in. And they've all got, obviously, the beginnings of the mutation, because their backs are all sort of,
Varen, it's his hand, not his back, wasn't it?
They have to make it a bit more obvious for him, I think, because he is suffering, but he's trying to also hide it. So it was a bit more obvious with it being, the hand.
No, it's not happening.
A little overacting there.
But what the Marshal and Jaeger are doing is basically pumping the atmosphere full of gases, which is accelerating the natural process of the planet. But we find that out a bit later. But because eventually the Doctor meets Kai and the box opens, and a couple of little bits of tablets are in there with some sort of ancient writing on them.
Commandments pop out, don't they?
Also,
he's not too open when he rushes past him, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Actually, they look like little cell phones. Don't they look like little cell phones?
Yeah, they do look a bit like stone cell phones. the Marshal quickly discovers that Cotton and Stubbs are sort of in league with the Doctor, Joe, etc. More Cotton than Stubbs, really, but. He plans to sort of seal them in the caves by pumping gas in and blowing up entrances or exits or whatever. And so that's, he thinks, has done them for good. But Sondergaard comes out and shows him his little lab. What a nice life he must have, just on his own, the lab.
There's several years, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he's decided to wear loads of weird beads around his neck as well for some reason. Because he's got a lot of people to show his fashion sense to.
He's going native.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a sure sign, wearing the beads.
But he doesn't understand initially what these sort of hieroglyphs on the tablets mean. So him and the Doctor are trying to sort of decipher them. Did you notice, though, I don't know if on the video you watched, when they did a couple of the camera angles, they looked like the picture was slightly distorted, like it was shot through a mirror.
It was dangled over, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a slanted.
It's like it was shot for a mirror, or I don't know what was going on there.
It looked like it sort of had bounced off something.
Yeah.
Well, what I read was that in order to make the room look like it's shaking, they did weird things with the camera lens, because the rocks are falling and the room is shaking.
Oh,
They forgot to turn that off.
I got a funny thing on this instance. It wasn't actually shaking, but
they were doing something funny with the camera lens.
Andy, you shouldn't really mix your drinks, apparently. Yes, Kirby.
We'd say something about that it would say it in the info text, but I guess not, huh?
Master?
Yes.
I predict Mary will win.
I predict Andy will be asleep before we get to the quiz.
Andy needs to shut the drapes behind him.
He hasn't got any drapes behind him. That's his conservatory.
Yeah, there they are. There you go. See? Oh.
But if he does that, we'll be able to see him. Oh, that's better.
No,
it's all darkness. Yeah, he's got a bit. You do not have a light in that room, Andy.
Turn on the light.
Atmospheric.
Hang on a second. Okay, hang on a second.
Have you got a candle going?
No, don't. It'll set fire to something.
Hang on. We have candles every. Hang on.
I was going to say, there's beautiful lighting.
Good Lord.
Andy, listeners, is
showing us his room, which is full of candles, and any fire service people that may have been watching this would be rather worried at the moment.
There's a lovely dawn.
A lovely dawn? Oh, she's lovely.
Hello, Dawn. Hi.
Right.
What is this?
It's the 20 megabyte podcast, Deb. Oh, he's gone.
And his video's gone.
Oh dear.
No, Kirby, I didn't say anything right off because I thought you would have read that in the info text.
That's unusual.
You must have missed it earlier when I said I watched this through once and without info text and without commentary. And I can't find disc 2, so I don't have any extras.
Well, I can't lend you my disc 2, but there are extras on it. In fact, the whole of disc 2 is, in fact, extras. Right, Andy, I can see that you're hiding behind the curtain at the moment.
Okay. Someday, my son, all this will be yours.
Anyway, I'm trying to work out. Oh, that's right. I just remembered what happened. That was quite good, Mary. Oh, we can see him.
I like the candlelight. That really works.
Anyway, back to the episode. They find a shaft to get out of. So Kai and, which is I think is a well shaft leading to Varen's camp. Kai, Joe, and Uziel and Stubbs climb this shaft, while the Doctor and the Sondergaard go in search of this crystal. And it's unfortunately would have been really good if they thought about this through, that it was not the Metabelius crystal, but it would have been really good if it was. But never mind, it was a crystal.
I know, I was surprised.
Anyway, I'm just having a sip. Ooh. So they find the camp, and Sondergaard can't go any further. Can't remember why, but he couldn't. But the Doctor retrieves the crystal. He keeps on making, saying, no man can enter this place, sir. But I am not a man.
Sorry, wrong
one. Essentially. Anyway, the Doctor retrieves a crystal and carries Sondergaard back. And, oh dear, what on earth's going on in the Nunny household at the moment?
I don't think he's paying any attention.
No, he's showing pictures of cricket posters. Yeah. So anyway, they all, Joe, Cotton and Stubbs go back to Sky thingy. Sky Lab, is it? I can't remember. And I think the Doctor and... Sorry?
Skybase 1.
Yeah. But they get imprisoned, essentially. And the Doctor and the other chap, Sondergaard, more or less decipher what these tablets actually mean. And there's a really cool scene, which I always remember from this, from when I was little, actually. When I watched this probably the second time, when I acquired it on video... would have been one of those videos that, all the Doctor Who fans were copying and giving out to other Doctor Who fans. It would have been a bit ropey. But the scene in which I think Kai, Joe, Varen were all in that room, and then a blaster happens and the whole wall goes away and Varen goes off into space. I remember that scene. I saw, there was one scene in Moff Childer that stuck in my memory, and it was that one, because I was always told that once you were in the vacuum of space, you'd sort of implode or explode or something like that.
Why did they say that for so long? You know, why was that sort of the given that would happen to you in space when actually you just suffocate?
I don't know, mate. Sorry.
No.
I don't know. One might assume that a vacuum would kind of suck you out. I don't know.
Inside out, turn you. You'd go.
Explode. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, no, you'll just suffocate. I'm glamorous, you know. I died in space, you know.
But anyway, so Varun gets he gets sucked off into space, like you said, and then they're all being sucked. They're all being, thanks, Deb. They're all being sucked out into space. I'm sorry, Deb, but that is the case. And that's a cliffhanger for that episode, which is episode...
How did the Marshal get away? That's the thing I couldn't see.
Yeah, I know. He was on the wrong side of the door, and then suddenly he's out in the hallway.
Yeah, that's clever, wasn't it? Maybe he got transmatted or something like that. I don't know.
Hey. Someone just shut the door of the room.
Did they? Naughty, aren't they? All right, thanks to you lot. I've just started the wrong episode. It's episode 5.
It's always our fault.
Well, it is. So Varun dies and...
He just gets up and shuffles out of the room, but they don't close the door behind them.
I can't remember how they got out of the situation, because the whole breach was still there. But anyway, they managed to... I think Cotton... sort of pushes them through the door or something like that.
The door open.
Have you got a cold? Have you got a cold, Lovely Dawn? Lovely Dawn's wiping her nose.
It's a very lucky and odd state of affairs, that escape.
Yeah. But anyway, they got away with it. Right, so this is where the Marshal starts ramping up his rather mean meanness. And
He has really gone insane by then. He's sort of maniac by then.
Yeah, because he realises that Earth has decided that they've basically got to get off the planet. He wants to set it up as Earth 2, but Earth can't afford to keep the base going anymore. But he wants to keep it going either way. And then
because he's threatened with just basically a desk job when he goes back, isn't he?
Yeah.
Essentially, yeah.
That just seems to trigger everything off with him. He's already quite... upset about it, and then obviously he gets told he's just going to get a desk job.
There is a funny scene in which because it was all accelerating going wrong for the Marshal, because the administrator types are going to arrive.
How many of us are eating, Andy?
I'm not blimmin' eating. I've had my dinner. Thank you very much.
I'm not eating. Having supper afterwards.
So they get him. They get sort of.
I finished my pizza.
Be quiet. They get kept in. This is Joe, Cotton, and Kai get kept in some. Place where the fuel for the spaceship is going to pass.
The radiation room.
Yeah. And I think I've missed the death of... Oh, no, Abney's still alive there. Sorry.
He died. No, he's alive.
Anyway, I love that there's a sort of lovely dialogue from Cotton when he says, "We're all going to be done for." In this
quote, remember?
Yeah, I know, but it's the way he delivers the line. It's really quite amusing.
We'll all be done for.
Yeah.
His entire quote is, "They'll need to refuel Hyperion, the investigator's shuttle. They should be putting a probe out any minute now. Then...
who I misses.
Then Lithesium will start flooding through there. We'll be done for."
But he does think of a way out of it, because they managed to... Just as the stuff's going to come through, they jump in the appropriate orifice and get away with it. Meanwhile, there's some Time Lords turn up. Oh, no, sorry. It's the Administrator and his team wearing Time Lord costumes.
Time Lords.
And,
we do have George Pravda there. He will be a Time Lord later.
He will be. One of them thinks he's Eamon Andrews, who's carrying a big red book. Things actually go right for the Marshal during this scene, because a couple of things the mutants turn up for starters, and he's able to scare the administrators initially into handing over power to him rather stupidly. And he just orders everybody to kill everybody. And, and then he immediately turns the tables on the administrators and realize that perhaps handing power over to a complete megalomaniac wasn't the best of plans.
Yeah.
There's some great background acting going on.
That it was, awfully convenient when the doctor can't make the case until Joe and them show up, and then he can. And they talk about Sundergaard, and bang, there he is.
Yeah.
We'll let him speak. And then, well, we can't do anything unless we have some proof. And bang, in comes some of the...
That happens in life, though, Mary. That happens all the time. But yeah, what was I going to say now? Oh yeah, there's some great background acting from Kai, sorry, the chap who plays Kai, when he's starting to mutate again. And he's in the background, he's sort of acting a bit weird, and we find out why, obviously, because he does the ultimate evolution. And once he's evolved into this sort of rainbow thing, it's a bit like a gay... anthem, really, isn't he, when he with these things, he sorts everything out, basically. And
he kills the marshal, doesn't he? The marshal's
The marshal sort of killed himself. Oh yeah, he kills him. He deserved it, though, didn't he? Come on,
what's their actual purpose? I mean, he kills the marshal, but then what else do they do?
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, but somewhere during these
he disappears right after, doesn't he? Like, somewhere, doctor.
I know, but somewhere during these events, poor old Stubbsy gets killed, and it's quite a moving scene.
He's one of the real good guys, and he got done.
Well, the good guys often die in these stories, don't they?
I know Stubbs, the better actor, dies. The worst actor keeps going, and he gets the ultimate prize at the end. Yeah.
But yeah, so poor old Stubbsy. Yeah. So
see my cat.
No. Yeah, there's a cat on the bed, Kirby, yeah.
Is it a basket? You just close your curtains as well, Kirby.
Andy just coughed straight in my face then. I'm just going to clean my glasses.
Cover your mouth, Andy.
as I was saying, there's quite a moving scene. Cotton's acting during Stubbs' death is quite moving. Not necessarily in the right way, it's got to be said. So, the Doctor and Joe... sneak off, basically.
Yeah, Joe's not looking too well, is she?
Isn't she? Why not?
Oh, yes.
You're looking a bit poorly, am I? Yes.
Oh, right, okay. so that's it.
Where do they want him to go back to? They want him to go back to Hyperion? Hyperion, yes.
Yeah, thank you.
But he's like, I'm off, bye.
That's the shuttle.
So, right, the mutants. Now, I was really, really engrossed in this story. I was finding it at some point difficult writing the questions because I was actually paying attention to the story and really quite enjoying it. I could say the fact that I didn't mind the actor's name again? Rick somebody or other.
Rick James.
Yeah, I didn't mind his performance so much this time because that obviously does detract a little bit from the story because it does sort of glare out a little bit. I was able to pay attention to the story and the acting of everybody else. I think this is really good, actually. This is one of my favourite Pertwee stories. I don't think it detracted from being six episodes long, which is quite unusual because I don't really like six episode stories. I thought it paced itself quite nicely. There was not too much of the capture and release capture thing going on. There was a little bit of it, not too much.
there was a lot of it, actually.
No, there wasn't. But on the whole, I thought this was quite a good one. What did you think, Deborah?
I watched it bit by bit because I felt it was too long. Six episodes again. I felt it was just, it could have been condensed to four. It was just catch. I know, I'm sorry, Adam, but being told off. Yeah, catch, release, release, catch. Catch, release, nearly die.
It's
catch,
not that bad.
Too many catch and releases.
It was easy to keep hold of, keep hold of the storyline and what was going on. We've had mutation stories before, but this time it was nice to see a more positive edge on it because you're meant to think it's not a natural evolution, but it turns out to be the natural evolution for this people, which is great. It's lovely to see that it's actually a positive than a negative that's being sort of used for evil. This is what's going to happen to you. But I just felt it was a bit overlong. I appreciated the story, but if it had been four episodes, I would have liked it a little bit better.
Oh, is that it? Oh, okay.
That it, really? I'm
Andy, crazy. What did you think? Oh, he's not there.
Look at that.
Oh, he's back now. And he's just stuffing his face. What did you think, Andy?
I just did it on screen, Andy. Eat, just eat.
I actually agree with you, Debbie. I think he was too long. Mm. There was a lot of rushing around. It was like chasing through tunnels. It would have been a very good four-part story.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But you know, because there's the political content. I mean, actually, I think it's very relevant now. We've got to go through Brexit.
And we have
several episodes dragged far too. I mean, my notes for episode 5 are 3 lines, and that's it. There's no more than that. Because it was ridiculous, rushing down corridors. The marshal has turned megalomaniac and has gone completely haywire. But no, he was too long. He was too long. However, the story itself was very good because it was based on 19th century British colonial, end of the empire. I said that's why it's relevant now, because we've got Brexit coming along. We're moving away from it. It's how do you break away from something like that? And you've got somebody, the marshal, who his job was to be a governor. He will not have a job elsewhere. He'll be like a desk jockey, you know, records file or something like that. I mean, there was a reference earlier. That's what he's going to be doing. You know, what else can people like that do? They haven't got anything. They've got no skills. They've got no relevance to the world. And he's finished. And that's the problem with him. So, yes, if you'd have made that a four-part story, a very good four-part story, I found it dragged. It really did. Episode 5 was like, what is going on here? It was just non-stop. It was running down corridors.
I didn't feel that at all. I quite enjoyed it.
The actor who played Cotton wasn't good. The other one Stubbs was very good. I really enjoyed his performance. The Marshal, I thought, was actually very good as well.
He reminded me of the captain from Pirate Planet, but we'll move on.
It was similar to that, but overall...
No, the captain in Pirate Planet was fire.
There's too many Pertwee... It's Pertwee and the Troughton. Too many six-part stories that should have been four-part stories. As four-part stories, they'd have been superb. As six-part stories, they were poor padding, they dragged, didn't enjoy it.
I didn't find it so bad with this one, but I agree that it would have probably benefited from being a four-parter. Mm. But I really enjoyed it as a six-parter.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm done.
Okay, cheers. Kirby.
I watched this in three pieces, two episodes apiece. Starting with episode 3, Fred's joined me, and I thought that was pretty good. That shows how people could come into the middle of the story and get the gist of what's going on and then enjoy it. From that point on, so she really liked it. Having missed the first 2 episodes, I told her basically what was going on, and she got right into it. And Andy's leaving. I agree that 6 episodes is too long. 4 episodes would have been too short. This would have been good for a 5-episode story.
Mm, wait till you hear what I have to say.
I enjoyed it. There wasn't a whole lot of the catch and release. I like that term.
Thank you.
there was a lot of suddenly beaming up and down since the teleport room looked the same on the planet.
Yeah. That's a very good point, Kirby. When you get one of these for saying that.
Yeah, where they were, They saved money on sets, didn't they?
Because at one point the mutants come in, and you're going, how'd they get up there so fast? Mm-hmm. And they weren't. They were all down on the planet.
They were still down on the planet. Yeah, it was. You could see that they were reusing the sets, but they didn't. Normally they take a bit more trouble. They were disguising different places, but this time it was like, let's just change a sign.
Well, and you have to wonder about the security in that place. Nobody's guarding any of these teleports. Anybody can come and go.
It's just Stubbs and Cotton, isn't it?
Yeah. But overall, this is the first time I've ever seen it. It's not going to be the last time I ever see it. Definitely will watch this one again.
It's definitely rewatchable, isn't it? Right. Alan T. Butcher says, the 6 parts allowed Cotton to be developed into the complex, in-depth character he was.
I one.
Do I detect a note of sarcasm there, Mr. Butcher? All right, everybody, prepare yourselves.
Brace yourself.
Miss Mary.
Well, at first, I thought that this was a really good, kind of fast-paced story, because when I was looking up, you know, the episodes to watch on, I saw, you know, the Mutants Part 1, so I clicked on it, but it just kept going and going, and I'm thinking, what's going on with this? I'm sure that these episodes are only half an hour long, and then I looked and saw it's an omnibus piece made up of the first three episodes, and it really was interesting, riveting. It was everything that I would want one episode to be, but it was only an hour long, three episodes in 1 hour. Mm-hmm.
Did you want to go back and find the three separate ones, because they were hard to find?
Because of something that I read, you know, about some scene that took place with Joe, and I didn't remember seeing it, I thought, okay, probably they thought they could cut that out in the omnibus. It was about Joe in the caves when it goes all psychedelic and the guy in the silver suit shows up. Well, because she describes it later, they probably assumed they could just cut out the actual scene, which they did. So I went back to that episode to watch it, and from there on, because I could not find part two of the omnibus thing, I was stuck with watching the next three episodes one by one by one, and all I could think of is, wow, when they did that omnibus, they did a good job. So the whole thing could have been boiled down to two one-hour, you know, omnibus episodes.
I found that first and then went back.
So being confined to one episode at a time, oh my Lord, it was hard to stay with it because it was boring. I think the script was probably decent. There were good ideas in it, but I think the acting overall was pretty uneven. I mean, we had really bad people. We had over-the-top people. And even the direction seemed to be, you know, really uneven. A lot of scenes that just didn't make sense, as we talked about when the side of the lab was, you know, blown open. And, of course, everybody was able to just get up and kind of get out of there. We weren't using our thinking caps, were we?
It reminded me of the end of the one scene where the TARDIS doors were left open and second Doctor and Jamie are hanging onto the wall. The way that they're struggling.
But there's another scene in Doctor Who later than this, which they should have known better. When we come to watch it, things may be explained a bit better. It's a scene in Four to Doomsday when the Fifth Doctor floats out to the TARDIS and uses a cricket ball.
Cricket ball.
Yeah. To nurture himself over to the TARDIS. Yeah. He's wearing a space helmet and his normal suit. I think that there might have been an issue.
It's been
a decompression
long
issue.
Time since I've seen that one. I'm looking forward to seeing that one.
Also, Midnight is another one. It's very similar. We get a similar thing where the spaceship is blown open, and how do people get out of this?
Yeah. But we'll come to those in the future. So
it was never made clear, first of all, why Kai was the recipient of the Time Lord delivery thing, because he had no use for it. He couldn't even read what was in there. The other thing I wondered is, why wasn't there some kind of a note or message to the Doctor? Who to give it to? Why are they leaving him to wander around the entire trying to figure out, oh, this opens for you. Let me open it to you. Let me see if this works for you.
Did I detect a note of cynicism there, Mary?
Heavy note. Part of the direction thing is that even the Doctor seemed like no energy. He's dressed to the nines.
His hair looked good, though, in this story. Did you notice that?
The best dressed he's ever looked. His hair was the best puffed. His outfit, his velvet jacket, everything.
I thought it looked like he was having a good time.
Well, but what about when Sondergaard is, like, dying in the cave and he just kind of looks at him kind of like, oh, well, too bad for you, and he walks on. I didn't think the Doctor could work up any kind of emotion during this.
I liked it when the Doctor, when he's the administrator, went to shake hands and held his hand out, and he just stared at him, and he's like, oh, right, sir, wiping hands.
Like slicking themselves when they think that you don't, you know, that they, you don't notice that they didn't mean to do that, you know.
Yeah. And one other thing that I wondered about is once Kai turns into that colorful floaty thing, all I can wonder is, like, what good is this? And why aren't there some creatures like that already out there?
Because they would have all been dead. It's a 500-year cycle, isn't it?
It's like he evolved so quickly, didn't he? He was just like, quick into the evolution. So that sort of justified the fact he got the football. But it was just so... Why did he do it so quickly compared to everybody else?
Anyway, before we move on...
He was accelerated by the radiation.
Yeah, hang on a second. Whoa, we can come back to them. And before it disappears off the screen, Alan T. Butcher says, along with the breakthrough same-sex Stubbs-Cotton relationship.
Okay.
Anyway, moving back.
That's right. I just wondered if it's part of their cycle that they turn into this, you know, glowy, sparkly creature. I mean... How do they reproduce? I mean, do they lay eggs?
Quite possibly. We didn't see that part of the cycle, did we? But we saw
the idea of them laying eggs. I thought that
because they started out as. I mean, we see them as humanoids, but did they start out as something else? And I mean,
they probably did. But it's a 500-year season, isn't it? That means the year. As we would see, it would take 2,000 years. So that's why...
So all floating around that planet being these colourful, sparkly, floaty things, I mean, what do they do?
That's essentially the going to heaven part of it, I think. That's the ascending, upwards each time, so they
leave anything behind to start the cycle over again, I wonder. You know, I mean,
there wouldn't have been anything left of the first part of the cycle because that would have been 1,500 years previous, so they'd all be dead.
But it's like the bit when they mutate into the monsters is basically their pupa stage.
Mm.
Yeah.
But anyone else think Eldrad must live?
Yeah, eh?
Eldrad must live.
Must he? What's that got to do with it?
When Kai was generating into this new incarnation, whatever it was, I thought Eldrad must live.
I didn't think that, but
Eldrad must live.
Yes,
okay.
Eldrad must live.
But you did, and I'm just fine.
Big Finnish story called that. But anyway, so I went from the joy of watching a well-crafted omnibus thing to having to watch episode by episode, and that killed it for me.
Oh dear.
So it could have been a four-part.
Yeah, quite right.
It dragged.
It didn't drag for me, but yes, it would have benefited from being a four-part. I think a lot of these stories.
Did you find this one?
Did I find what?
Find it hard to find on the... It was very difficult.
Yes, I did. I had to, like... The site that we go to, you have to be very specific with your search. And once I found out what I had to put on the search, then it was easy, but...
Yes. You have to be really specific.
You do. Just putting in the mutants didn't bring much of any useful thing. Yeah.
No, I actually brought out the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, did they? Oh, that's marvellous, isn't it?
Motley, do something!
Anyway, right, let's move on. Let's try and see if we can do some feedback.
Podcast is Ian Kirk. I put my USB microphone away somewhere and I was typing a message how I would not be doing audio this week. And then I remembered where it was. Mutants by Baker and Martin. I've had anything to say about this story. A mining company exploiting the locals. An arrogant, self-serving official. The doctor passing himself off as a government inspector. Venusian karate. The Doctor Who joke.
Mm.
Nothing new here.
Yeah.
Hey, new Capaldi episodes in a fortnight.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Bye for now.
As Ian Kirk, everyone. We haven't heard from him for a while because of circumstances. But thanks, Ian, for sending
in. Thank you, Ian. That really sums up the news since what you just said, mate.
Yes, it does. All right. Right then, hang on, let's see if I can find a coin. I was going to try and find a coin, but being me that I am, because I'm not the richest of person anyway, and I haven't got one of those new pound coins. Here we go, here's a coin. Right then, who did it last? Mary did it last. Heads or tails, Mary?
Heads.
Why?
Heads it is! You get to choose who does. Alan T. Butcher's... Pardon?
You win.
You get to choose who does Alan T. Butcher's.
Okay. Well, then if I get to choose, yeah. I'm going to choose Debbie.
Excellent.
Master?
Yes.
Master, why didn't you use Siri to toss the coin?
Oh, because I forgot. I'd prefer to use the old.
No, you can do that with Siri. I'm going to do that next time. Yeah. I'm waiting. And,
and
you're very impatient, lady, aren't you, Debbie?
No.
My Amazon Echo Dot is downstairs, so I can't.
Good.
That's what? Not long for Alan. Oh, dear.
Apparently, you haven't got a very long one, Alan. That's what Debbie says.
Okay.
She's got a very pink colour, anybody who can't see the Skype feed at the moment. And she's going to say it's the lighting. It's Debbie going pink.
There is no in-between. Pink or pale, that's it. That's all that happened. Not the Daleks, dear 20 megabyters. The mutants is, of course, a closely studied exposition on imperial degradation. And the natural emergence of indigenous colonial autonomy and rivalry, bureaucratic resistance and the inevitable final acceptance of an oncoming post-colonial settlement and a reconciliation. Ooh. The administrator clearly represents the imperial government practically facing up to the fact their exploitation of the colony is running down and now uneconomic. The marshal represents the local colonial authority unwilling to accept his loss of position, which will result from independence. Varan and Kai are representatives of disparate indigenous power bases developing, one more collaborative with Earth authority and one more independent. Sondergaard is an anthropologist in the 19th century tradition. The long-term race life cycle of the Solonians is obviously a nod to the degree to which many areas placed under a colonial yoke had earlier, more advanced societies suppressed during the colonial period, and the question here is, will the post-colonial society be one that is imposed on them or a re-emergence of their former state? Clearly, the content of this narrative suggests the former would be a disaster and the latter very desirable. It should be noted that Cotton, often criticised as being badly acted, is clearly an experimental performance representing a 30th century accent as yet unfamiliar to us. We also learn the dissident deans from the early 21st century survived Salamander and became an Imperial Earth scientist, and government apparatchik Mr. Masters did not die from the Silurian implanted disease, but actually went on to have a long and successful colonial career over a millennium as a dutiful administrator until being assassinated in the Marshal's plot to retain control of Solos. All in all, The Mutants is an excellent and varied tale which maintains your interest easily, though both through both political and personal machinations, and exploits an excellent sci-fi idea of a very alien evolution of a long-term life cycle. Next up, Doctor Who and Atlantis Redux and the Minotaur Redux and Baby Benton Redux. These are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
It won't be, though, will it? Because it will be the next story in the new
Yeah, next up in the journey, Alan, you're right. When it happens is in a few months' time. But he did say... That's what she said. Hang on a second, Isabella. He did say, that's what she says. And then he says, forgot to mention, Suraman from the BBC Radio 4 series is, of course, the real Earth adjudicator.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, Isabella's arrived.
What kind of pajamas?
Hi, Isabella. What pajamas are you wearing?
Looks like Dr. Who.
Harry Potter.
She has one of the best. Yeah. Bellatrix Lestrange cosplays I have ever seen.
So, at last, it seems like a blimmin' age. It seems like an age, but it's now time for this one, this week's edition. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're going to be doing some. You might be actually be in the quiz, so if you're actually going to watch the new series of Doctor Who.
Okay.
Yay!
Yes, you're going to be on the show if you're going to actually watch Doctor Who.
Okay.
As I was saying.
I could do questions for new theories, and that way then you can enjoy it.
No, Debbie. Did she say questions for the new eries or the new series? Right, I'm just going to move my microphone. I'm going to show everybody. This is my new microphone. Ooh. There it is. Look at that. That's a piece of kit. It's a tripod adapted by my microphone. I'm just moving it so Isabella
sort of
can
late be. Seven, actually.
It might sound a bit odd to the listeners.
Isabella.
So Isabella can. It's attached mid-death, so this could make some really weird sound effects. Anyway, it's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
I won't.
Who's in it? Who's in? In. Who's with Belgium? Under it. Oh, I've got the quiz questions out. We're getting all excited because we're doing a quiz. I haven't got the questions up.
We're just enjoying one another, that's all.
Hey!
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I just elbowed her in the chin. I was trying to protect her ears from your innuendo.
Leave the room, Mary.
Oh, dear. You all right? Yes. Anything bleeding?
She's just in on the fun.
In on the fun, I just elbowed her in the bloody mouth.
That's kind.
Anyway,
she must be used to it.
Yeah. No, she is. I do not go around elbowing my children, although some of them might deserve it. I do not go around elbowing my children in the mouth.
Either is elbow height now, I can't help it.
Not on some of them, that's the other one.
Okay.
Mm. Where's Isla?
Oh, I haven't done the piece of paper.
Embedded.
Hang on, I'm not prepared at all here. Tomorrow.
That's not a surprise.
Neither am I.
Hang on, all right, hang on.
Isla was a bit naughty regarding iPads, so she went to bed early.
But she gave you a kiss, I saw that bit. Right, hang on.
She turns
just
into a demon.
Chat to Isabella for a bit while I write out these names.
Hello.
did you enjoy the Roomba story?
Yeah.
No, definitely.
That's not Isabella.
That's not me.
That was amazing. Honestly, I was like, I was just laughing my head off. He's like, what's going on? I was like, oh, you've got to read this.
Just go to suck yourself in a bit, Isabella. Move to about here.
Story.
Okay.
In. There we go. That's about right. I'll just turn the screen a little bit.
Right. Okay.
There we go. I think you're in both pictures and that colour. Anyway, Alan T. Butcher says, anyway, it is the empirical veracity that counts, not the length.
That's what she said.
Apparently, that's really cool, Andy, by the way. It's really cool. Right, I'm nearly ready now. But I was going to. Oh, we went to see Beauty and the Beast yesterday.
Oh, how was it?
How was the singing? Did they dub? They should have dubbed.
I don't know. Either way, it was brilliant. It was much better than the cartoon. And I like the cartoon. I loved it. I thought it was really, really good. Cool. I didn't think it was boring at all, Andy.
We're losing Andy.
Yeah. Andy was yawning, listeners. Andy Butcher says, I'm not surprised.
We've got young kids.
Anyway, right.
Yes, we have.
Right,
yeah.
Debbie, who do you think is going to be ahead?
I'm not young.
Shut up, Isabella. Who do you think is going to be ahead at the end of the questionings?
Me?
Yeah, you.
I think you are, Adam.
Okay. Kirby, who do you think is going to be ahead?
Mary.
Wow, yeah. That's got to be a first. Andy, who do you think is going to be ahead?
Who, me?
No, Andy. Andy, who do you think is going to be ahead?
Adam.
Mary.
It doesn't help we've all got E at the end of our names.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Yeah, I've got
Mary.
Shush. Not E.
Shush, Mary, who do you think is going to be ahead?
Debbie. Yes.
Oh, my sweet summer child.
No, it's Kirby.
And I'm going to go for Kirby.
Well, you will lose for doing that.
You say that every week, and I win every week because I'm right. Right, Isabella, you may begin.
I'm expecting to have
got
a score.
I haven't got my thingy over the appropriate sound effects. Where is it? Where's my
question?
Where did you put your thingamajiggy?
Priority jingle folder. There it is.
Master, I'm expecting to have a score in the close to the bottom.
Oh, no.
She says that every week.
No.
He says that every week. I'm going to say it, Isabella. I've got so many screens open at the moment.
I have never said that before.
That's my notes for change.
Let's move Kirby there. Right.
My goodness, Andy, how many things are you drinking?
There we go. Right, we're ready. Come on, Isabella.
Oh, I'll do it.
Who's it for?
Yeah, who's it for?
It's for Debbie.
Okay. What area did the first mutt die?
It's a number.
Yeah, I know.
I think I might know.
He thinks.
Four.
Andy?
Yeah. That was my answer, so I've got it wrong now.
I know, but it's too late.
I know, Mary says she says...
I know.
Mary said it.
Area 7.
Should really deduct a point from Andy for butting in, because Mary did actually come up with the answer, but that is the correct answer. Next question goes to Kirby.
Master.
What was the doctor making for Bessie?
He's making something for some sort of super drive.
Ooh, I'm going to give him a point for that. Ooh. I'll give you a point, because that's one of the parts of the answer. But Mary, what's the other part of the answer?
Minimum inertia super drive.
I'm going to give you a full 2 points for that one.
She is going to win.
2 points for Mary on that one. I think that was well worth it. Bonus point for getting it word for word right. Andy.
Yep.
What did Joe mistake for flying?
No idea.
I think I know.
Go on in, Kirby.
That they're in orbit.
Planetary orbit, but orbit's the key part word of that particular thing. Right, now we go back to...
Debbie?
No, it's Mary. You've got a question, yeah?
Mary's question. No, okay. Who did the Marshal want to see alone?
I think I know that one.
The administrator?
Go on, Debbie.
Varen.
Correct.
Yeah, right.
Wanted to arrange the assassination.
Essentially, yes. Right, the next question goes to Debbie.
I'm
here all week.
What time period did the TARDIS instrument reading say they had arrived in? That was confusing.
No, that's fine. What time period did the TARDIS instrument reading say they'd arrived in?
It's really, I know. Yeah, it's... Oh, my God. It's really hard without notes these days.
I know.
But more rewarding. No, more rewarding when you get it right, Debbie.
Sorry?
More rewarding when you get it right. Go on, then.
I suppose so. I'm afraid that's a no idea.
Right, who said they knew?
Me.
Go on in, Kirby.
30th Century Empire.
Give you a bonus point for getting this word for word correct.
I had Empire in my head, but I had no idea, and I just had Roman in my head, so I didn't say anything.
Kirby's question.
Master.
Oh, I found it. What did the Doctor nearly forget to take out of the TARDIS?
I think I know.
He thinks.
I have no idea.
Go on in, Andy.
What's it, the missing container?
Oh, duh.
That's what I've got, actually. That's my book. That's my notebook.
Ooh. Oh, very
I love
good.
It.
Very good.
Wait, what, can I see it?
The book or something else?
The book. Oh, what is... That's kind of cool. Okay.
Yeah, it's a time twister notebook, listeners.
I bought one of the Doctor Mac weekly paper things, and I got this free.
Yeah, I like getting things free. But Isabella likes us spending money on things, but I like getting things right. Who was that last question for?
I liked getting a scarf.
Yes, thank you. Who was that last question for?
That last question was for Kirby.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Therefore, this is Andy's question.
I'm so interested, Isabella.
Andy's question, which is number 7, I believe, is it not?
Yeah, it is. Who would suit a job at the...
Bureau
of Records. Why? Who? I know. Give me who? That word.
Oh, Debbie knows.
The Marshal.
Forgot your joker.
Oh.
Blast.
I've actually written it down. Joker, right. Use it.
Right. Mary.
Wait.
Yeah, Mary.
I found it. What do overlords need to survive on the surface?
I think I know.
Oh, Joker, their oxy mask. Have you got your oxy mask?
I wasn't expecting you to say oxy mask, so that's quite impressive. Right, score up today. This could take all night, everyone. Score update.
I like being able to watch this.
Just get on with it. You still, what do you think, getting half an hour just getting through this bit?
Last place, 1 point, Debbie. Fourth place, 3 points, Andy. Third place with 4 points is Kirby.
Just said that.
No, I didn't.
She did.
Yeah. No, she didn't.
Well, carry on then.
I didn't. Second place with 5 points is Adam, and the lead with 7 points is Mary.
I told you.
This is early days.
Right. Next question goes to Debbie.
Downside begins.
Okay.
Debbie.
I found it. Okay. What was the doctor's assessment of the lab facilities? I can't believe I actually said that word right.
Wasn't what he was expecting.
Well, I'm going to go... Right, anybody?
He was expecting something, a particle thingy.
No, he used a word.
Wasn't he saying it was primitive?
No, that's 2 points to me. I should have played the joker on that one. The answer was...
Adequate.
Adequate is correct.
Oh, Did I say that right?
Adequate, yeah.
Who was that one for?
That one was for Debbie.
Oh, the next one goes to Kirby.
Master.
Thanks, Touchwood.
Get on with it.
Okay. The Marshal appeared to have what number on his chest?
Oh, that's easy. I know.
He's thinking.
What was? I'm trying to remember what it said.
He's thinking.
50.
50 something.
What was the name of the place? 53, I guess.
Mary?
Long enough, isn't it?
I know, yeah.
Go on then.
Mary?
I don't have time deciding if it was 58 or 5B.
Yeah, good answer. Yeah. That's what we're looking for. Right, who's fiddling?
By the way, notice that my... Oh, you missed that there. I was just informed by Julia that it is Happy Pie Minute.
Thank you,
good.
3:14 in the afternoon. 3.14.
Happy pie.
Who is that question for originally?
That was for Kirby.
So the next question, therefore, goes to Andy.
I'm keeping up to this. I'm doing well.
Oh, come on, then.
Okay.
You are doing well.
What did the Marshal call Varen's son? He's thinking.
I think I know.
No idea. Nothing in it.
Damn. Yeah, go on then, Kirby.
A son of Baron.
What?
That's how he's credited.
That's right. I'm thinking, boy, did he call him something?
Right, Mary's question.
Okay, what nickname did Cotton have for his colleague?
Nickname?
I'm
thinking Stubbs.
Stubbsy.
Nickname?
Yeah.
Mary, that's for you. And hang on.
That's
for me. And that's for Andy. Stubbsy is the answer, yes.
Right. Cool.
A good nickname. Okay. A good nickname is Nick.
Do you think that's funny?
Andy. The top of your head is clipped off.
Does it matter?
He can look at the camera however he wants it. And now we only get the top of his head.
Debbie just scared Isabella. Can you do that?
That's
the earliest hour of the day.
Where did that come from?
I wanted to look in.
Next question goes to Debbie.
Yeah.
Okay. Where did Joe initially take Joe?
Hey? No, that should say Kai. Where did Kai? Hang on. I changed it from... The spell checker changed Joe to Kai to Joe. Where did Kai initially take Joe?
Oh, I thought where did Joe take Joe?
Where did he take her first? For sake, initially.
Initially to the planet's surface.
No, where on the planet's?
It was a safe place. It was the safe place.
It was
in the script.
I don't know.
Right, okay, Deb.
It was just...
No, too late. Point for me. Anybody remember where...
Yes, it was the same place.
What?
I look like I'm getting another point here. I should have played the Joker on that one.
Point shot.
Right, Isabella, where did she take... he take her?
Where? Mine?
This...
Yeah, maybe it was a disused mine. Bit late, should have said it earlier.
Just say that.
Sorry.
Excuse me.
Right. He called it the cave.
It was a disused mine. It was in the script. Right, whose question was that for?
That was for Gerby.
Right, Gerby, your question.
Okay. Master?
I'm still keeping up to this. I'm doing really well. What did Stubbs have on the front of his helmet? Hello, Isla.
I don't know.
I don't have the video up to look, so I don't know.
Okay, so that case is... I think I double-clicked that. I don't want it to open up in iTunes. Oh, there we go. So, okay, we didn't know. That's a point for me. Anybody else?
I'll be up to
see you
later.
Nope.
Oh, I wish I
played
it. No point for me. The answer was...
I've lost. Oh, I found it. Three stars.
Three stars. Yeah, three stars in front of his helmet. I'm thinking the Marshall had five, if I remember rightly. You wouldn't have known that because you didn't watch it. Mm-hmm. Who's that one for?
That was for Kirby.
The next question is for Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What nickname?
Nickname, dear. It's a nickname.
Nickname did Stubbs have for the Marshall?
Yeah. I suppose it was. Yes, it was sort of a nickname, but a nickname that the Marshall wouldn't have known that Stubbs had for him.
I don't know. I'm more Harry Potter.
Joker for me. Ooh. I'm trying to Joker now because it's all gone quiet.
Whose question was it?
Andy's. He's thinking.
Absolutely no idea.
No good. That means 2 points for me. Woo-hoo. Anybody?
No.
His nibs.
Whoa! Never
Marrow. Oh darn! I
thought you didn't have any notes.
It's a fairly common one. I'm thinking, something unique.
Hello. I just had a dog join me.
Right, never mind the dog.
His name's Magic.
But that's like default for anyone in charge who I don't care.
I don't care. Who's that last one for originally?
That one was for Andy, so now it's on to
Mary. Mary, right, yes, Mary's question.
Oh, dear.
I think Andy should eat on screen.
Okay.
I don't.
What happens at night on solos? I'm just gonna get started.
No, Isabella, sit down.
I don't want her to feel alone.
No, sit down.
No.
Who's that question for?
Kirby.
Mary.
Mary, yes. What was it?
The poisonous mist goes away.
What was it?
That's handy.
Do you know where it was, wasn't it?
What happens at night on solos?
Hey, what happens? Yes, right. What happens at night on solos? Yes, that was the question.
The poisonous mist goes away.
Well, no.
Yes.
Anybody?
Dick.
No, okay. No,
that would have been my answer.
Yeah, that would have been my answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, the answer is firestorms. Firestorms is the answer.
Look, I have a dog.
They don't want to know. firestorms happen at night, yes. Pay attention to the story. It was six parts. You should have been to pick that one up. Next question goes to Debbie.
Wait, you're playing with the dog. What season had it been for 500 years?
I know that one.
Thanks, Tom. Now I don't know.
You don't know?
Winter and never Christmas, according to Tom.
Right, you've got a choice of four to try and guess.
I'm going to go for autumn.
No, right. I know.
Go on then, Mary.
It's been spring.
Yay!
Yay!
All right, next question goes to Kirby.
Get those points.
Yeah, real.
Kirby.
Okay, Kirby.
Master.
What did the Marshal use to try and flush out the Doctor?
Poison gas.
I've lost where I am with this.
I'm going to give you one point for that.
1 point.
But two points
eventually. Well done.
Okay. I was just about to say, can anyone guess the full name?
Right, Andy's question.
Okay. Where was the... I can't say that.
Where was the mutating Varan told to go?
Okay, I'm not good at English.
The place of sleeping darkness of night.
Oh.
I should do Joker.
Correct, you should have played a Joker. Mary. Mary's question.
That's mine yet.
Okay, I'm lost. No, I found it.
Come on.
Okay, I found it. Right. What?
His question.
Mary.
What did lead mean to Joe?
What?
Why did it say lead? It said lead. What did lead mean?
That's obviously changed a word that should actually be.
Oh, I know.
Lead.
Lead. Yeah. I mean, what did lead? Lead yeah. mean to Joe?
It means radiation.
Yay.
I mean.
Right. Ian Kirk says, I've just woken up from a nap. Here is the script for my audio. Have you just played it, mate? I played your audio. Unless you've done a new one.
Open that was good.
Kind of
late for a nap. I got a
big problem.
Kind of late for a nap. Oh, got
my you can have a nap at any time. In Spain, they have it in the mid-afternoon.
Is it 8:24 in the evening?
Hello, Magic. Where's
Magic? Where's Magic? He's back there. Magic's over there.
Yeah, no, I can see him.
Can you?
There's a star. Right.
There's Magic.
I have a starry.
That's star.
Well, that's star.
Magic, can we get on with the quiz? Who was that last question for?
That last question was for Mary.
Right, so therefore, score update. And you've got the dog, so I'm doing the scores.
Hey!
In last place with 3 points, it's Debbie.
Give it to me. I'm sorry.
The fourth place with 6 points, it's Andy. In third place with 7 points, it's Kirby. In second place with 11 points, it's Mary. And in the lead with 19 points, it's me.
Mary, you're doing so well.
Next question goes to Debbie, and that is, oh dear, and that is, what type of radiation was on Solos?
Excuse me, I was going to say that.
I think I know.
Debbie, what type of radiation was on Solos?
Hello.
I wrote that down somewhere, but obviously I now
can't. I thought you weren't taking notes anymore.
No, I make the odd word, because I can't not. I am... not sure.
I know.
Go on then, Kirby.
Bezium.
Is that correct, Isabella?
Yeah.
If I'd not said yes, he would have got really cross.
Okay.
Next question goes to Kirby.
Master.
What were the Sonder God's last words before he collapsed in the cave?
That's what's written. I don't know.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Anybody?
No.
Yeah.
Nobody's? No? Okay. Another point for me then. Hang on.
Okay.
What was the answer then, Isabella?
You go leave me.
Can you say it so they can understand what you're saying? You go leave me, yes.
I said flee.
Oh, I didn't hear what you said. That's not, you don't get any points, though, anyway. Who's Kirby? Is it Kirby now?
No, it's
Andy's question.
I'm keeping up to date. This is good.
Well, get on with it, then.
Okay, shut up now.
Get on with it.
What colour was the doctor's tie?
What?
What colour was the doctor's tie?
God.
I could make a stab at it if any.
Yeah, me too.
Purple.
Right. Who said? Oh, yeah, Mary said you wanted to have a stab at it.
Well, I mean, what I'm thinking is like a fuchsia.
What? But more fuchsia. Basic. Can you do
like a pinkish?
Yeah.
Purplish.
Oh, that was good.
It was red.
Essentially red, but that's sort of what we're looking for.
Red.
A bit more accurate
red
than what we're... Yeah, well, my TV, it looked red-ish. Pale red. Right, next question goes to Mary. Sorry, Mary.
Get it right.
What was the Overlord's guarantee that the Doctor would cooperate?
Because they were holding Joe in that... chamber.
Did you play
your
joker yet?
Yes, she's played a joker, yes. So what's the answer?
Well, because they were holding Joe in that refueling chamber.
So therefore the answer is?
Joe.
Oh, Joe. Okay.
Simple. <Joe. laughs>
I could read a paragraph and all you want to do is
work. Okay, next question goes to Debbie. Shut up. Next question goes to Debbie.
Oh, I'm on form tonight.
What type of doors did the transfer stations have? Shut up.
Excuse me?
It's an observation question rather than a script question, this one.
Sliding?
No.
No.
I know.
Go on then, Kirby.
Revolving.
Yes.
Oh, right, Kirby's question.
Oh, many
Master.
Of
one of them slid.
Kirby's question, and there are three of you that haven't played Jokers. Kirby's question is this one.
When would the Marshal be quite mad in his opinion?
Do you want to
jump down? Yeah?
I remember Joker. Only if he loses.
Yes, my quote.
There in the end.
I was going to say, yes.
Andy, your question is this.
I found it. What was... you say it.
What was Jaeger's common excuse?
Okay, Joker, I was only obeying orders.
Very good.
Yeah, it's very good, yes. Mary.
At least you didn't have to hunt for that answer.
Yeah, thank you.
Mary.
Yeah.
Okay. What would they all revert to if the site...
Do you want me to do that one?
No. What would they all revert to if the slightest accident happened in... Yeah, you say it.
Yeah, what would they all revert to? I did ask twice. What would they all revert to if the slightest accident happened in Jaeger's lab?
Mm-hmm. I think I know, yeah.
Oh, I was going to use that as a quote.
They'd all turn inside out, right?
That would be a... And Kirby apparently knows the answer.
Unpeople, undoing, unthings, untogether.
So essentially antimatter. I'll give you that one. That was going to be a bonus one, but that was more than what I expected from the answer. Very good. All right. Is that the end of that round?
Yep.
The current scores are. This could take a long time. If you want to make yourself a cup of tea, now could be the time to do it.
Leave me alone.
You take ages.
Okay. Last place, 3 points, Debbie. Fourth place, 10 points, Andy. Third place with 14 points is Mary. Second place with 15 points is Kirby. And first place with 25 points is Adam.
Uh-huh. Right, next question goes to Debbie. We haven't got many left. You got to really start pulling it out of the bag now.
Yeah, Debbie. Debbie.
In fact, we've got 6 questions left, to be precise. The next question goes to Debbie. It's this one.
What did Cotton exclaim at the end of episode 5?
What did Cotton what, sorry?
Exclaim at the end of episode 5.
What did Cotton exclaim at the end of episode 5?
Oh, exclaim, not explain.
Exclaim.
Exclaim.
Yeah, it was somebody's quote.
It was Kirby's quote, and I can't remember it offhand.
It looks like you're still thinking at the moment, unless your screen's just frozen.
No, I can't. No, no.
Go on in, Kirby.
We'll all be done for.
Without notes, I am half a being. I am not smart about Debbie without notes.
She's always got some sort of excuse. Have you noticed that? It's like having Reese Parton back on the show. Have you noticed that? Really is.
Okay.
Kirby. She looks rather mortified. Look at that mortified face. I'm going to try. Oh, no, she's gone to smiley Debbie now. I was going to try and screen capture her looking mortified. No, she doesn't. Okay, right. Next question goes to Kirby, I believe.
Master?
Oh, what colour was the investigator's clipboard?
What? I haven't finished the question yet.
I have.
I know, but I don't know.
Right. What colour was the investigator's clipboard?
What?
Yeah, the investigator had a clipboard. What colour was it? It's quite a simple question.
Gold.
Yellow.
Gold.
Right, it's a no for Kirby. And I presume Andy was jumping in with the answer.
Yellow.
That's a no.
Love yellow.
Well, what was it then?
Well, I did give a hint because I talked about Eamon Andrews and This Is Your Life. He was having a red clipboard. I gave a hint earlier on. They weren't listening to my hint. They said he looked a bit like his presenter.
And it was exactly like the doctor's tie.
This Is Your Life was on in America, and it was still a red book.
It was.
Yes, but it was somebody else in my day.
It was Michael Astor. But it was still blooming red book. Get off. Right, whose question was that? Who was that for originally?
That was for Kirby.
Kirby.
Right, so Kirby, sorry, Andy, this is your question.
Okay. What axe as a
What acts as a biocatalytic agent? You won't get this one. Really good question, this one.
Andy's just reading.
Andy's checking his notes. So.
Ross got the faintest
idea. And Kirby knows.
No. Let Mary do it.
Mary knows.
Is it the stasis radiation chamber?
No.
You should have taken it yourself, Kirby.
It's the crystal.
Yeah, it's the crystal.
The crystal didn't seem to have much to do with anything.
Well, don't worry, Mary. This is your question now, anyway.
Okay.
Wonder Woman.
Ready? Where would the Doctor's friends be confined while he works? And I love Wonder Woman.
I think I know. Yeah, I know.
The stasium radiation chamber. Yeah. The refueling chamber, whatever.
It's a correct answer. Chamber. Right, now we've got two questions left. Okay. Two questions left. There'll be three for all questions. Don't think they're going to make a great deal of difference to the scores. Isabella will now read out the scores as quickly as possible before we move on to the... That's a pass of the Get on with it.
Capture that.
We're a comedy duo.
Last place, Andy with 10 points. Wait, I mean Debbie with 3 points.
So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Third place of 10 points... Fourth place of 10 points is Addy. I'm getting confused.
Clearly. Right. In last place, with 3 points, it's Debbie. In fourth place, is there five of us? Yeah. With 10 points is Andy. In third place, with 16 points, it's Mary. In second place, with 17 points, it's Kirby. And in the lead, with 30 points, quite rightly. So.
Oh, my goodness.
However,
30.
Well, no last answer. Two questions now. These are free-for-all questions, and Debbie still hasn't played a joker. Now, the fact that Debbie hasn't played a joker means that I will get those points, so it's all good for me.
Okay.
Go on, then. No, you read that bit. I got the scores.
I don't care.
That bit there.
Okay. How mad was the marshal, according to the doctor?
I am but mad, nor west.
Well, I'll try.
Go on, quite mad. He's quite mad.
He's quite mad.
Right, last question.
Okay, here we go. Who?
Why are you shouting who like that?
Who? Assumed acting command.
Can you say that again? Because people were laughing.
I know.
Who assumed acting command after the marshal's death? And I can tell you that Andy knows.
The star Andy. Actor of
Andy.
The show.
Andy,
right. Point deducted. Point deducted for Debbie for shouting out the answer. Go on then, Andy. You said it. You got it there first.
It was Cotton.
I think Debbie's lost.
I'll give him 2 points for that, but that changes the score somewhat. Okay, the current scores before we add up the other shenanigans. In last place with 1 point, it's Debbie. In fourth place with 12 points, it's Andy. In third place with 17 points, it's Kirby. In second place with 18 points, it's Mary. In the lead with... I forgot to give myself a fourth because Debbie didn't do a...
10, 15, 20.
With 34 points, it's me. All right, but that's not the end of the story. Debbie predicted me.
She got two.
Will you shut up? Kirby predicted Mary.
Nice one, Kirby.
Andy predicted me. Mary predicted Debbie.
Oh,
sorry, Mary. It? We went down together, Debbie.
And I predicted Kirby. So the current, the final scores are this to be read eventually by Miss Pearson here.
Hello. So, hello. In last place with 2 points... is Debbie.
Yeah, I doubled my score.
Fourth place with 17 points is Kirby. Third place with 18 points is Mary. Second place with 24 points is Andy. And the winner with 34 points is Adam.
Well, not bad, not bad.
Not bad.
care. I wanted someone to beat him. Because he's a show-off.
I hardly ever win, thank you very much.
I don't care, you win at Monopoly a lot.
No, I don't. You cheat at Monopoly, so you
How
win.
How dare you?
Because you cheat at Monopoly.
Exactly, Dad.
She manipulates the computer players into selling her all properties. It is when you it is when you play the computer version.
Excuse me, I do not cheat.
There is definitely something wrong with.
It's got to the stage. It's got to the stage that she now wins without cheating, which is very infuriating.
Yeah. Well, Dad, do you want to know why I win? Because I'm amazing.
Because I taught you how to play it.
No, you didn't.
Taught you too well, for my liking. Right, so let's move on to a bit of news. I think we haven't done that for a while. Let's get very close to the new series. There's been a new trailer, which was on this
Bill Potts.
Certainly on Saturday. That was quite a good trailer, the one they showed on Saturday.
Oh. Yes.
Oh,
yes,
my name is Bill Potts.
We'll also find out that rather uninterestingly that she's a gay character this day and age, and don't really think that is such a big deal.
So blooming what?
Exactly.
Can we just have the Doctor Who show this time?
I'm not being funny. They're trying to make out it's a new thing, but Captain Jack was a bit omnisexual anyway, wasn't he? Even when he was in Doctor Who, he gave the Doctor Gert kiss before he.
And we got Alonso. He was.
That was Alonso. Yeah. Yeah, Alonso. But he wasn't a companion though.
Jenny and Vashta.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'd still call them companion-ish.
So we've already done that, you know. So,
don't make a big deal out of it.
Just get the story right.
What I will say, from what I've seen of the trailers, I think Bill is going to be a very good character in the series.
I hope so. She does certainly seem to be being set up as a decent companion.
Yeah.
But that's what happened last time, and then we were badly let down.
I still like Jenna.
Yes.
I think it's not her fault. The character was written. I think she was very good in Doctor Who. Right, let's see if we can find some interesting news. ABC to present Whovian's panel show. Australian broadcaster ABC have announced their new half-hour panel show, tying with the forthcoming 10th series of Doctor Who, based around the fans of the show. Whovians will be shown on Sunday evening from the 16th of April at about 8:30 p.m. on ABC2/iView. Oh, if it's on iView, does that mean we can see it? That'd be quite interesting, wouldn't it?
Hopefully.
Well, if anybody in the know can post the link to this on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, which you can join. If you're going to start yawning, can you... Oh, I just knocked my microphone. Can you, hop it?
Okay.
Which one are we looking at? My page just went funny.
We're looking at the ABC to present... dear me.
Best one.
That wasn't even Kirby. Breakfast with the Seven Doctors. Oh, that was something I'd like to win. Did you hear about that?
What's your Reese, come on, Reese, do it for us, please.
Well, Reese, he means post the link so on the 20 Megabyte page so we can all get to it.
I'm sharing it now. Hang on.
Oh, Debbie's sharing it now. Hang on. Anyway, moving on. Comic Relief. There was an opportunity.
What a load of crap that was.
They actually had David Tennant talking about this, a chance to have, breakfast with the seven of the Doctors? So that was Davison, Baker, McCoy, McGann, Tennant, Smith, Capaldi. And when I say Baker, I mean Colin Baker. I think there was one big prize. It was up for the auction. And there was then a chance to go into a raffle to win a few other places at this breakfast with these celebrities. What upset you about it, Andy?
I'm Curry with Sylvester and Colin.
Yeah.
But I thought the whole thing was just was a load of crap. It really was.
Was it Curry? I went
Curry with Colin.
Oh, I see. Is this something that you had to pay for or something like that? Or?
No, the whole gang of us went for it.
Yeah.
But I just said, this thing that they put up last week was, I thought, it was just crap.
It was an opportunity, though, wasn't it, for a Doctor Who fan Comic Relief to make some money.
Yeah, but the amount of money you put in, I thought it was really poor.
Well, I wouldn't mind having the opportunity to do that. The seven of them in one go, that's pretty good. I mean, not even Dave Simons had all seven of them.
That was so remote, that's the point.
There's been some publicity images released for the new series, which I can't really show on an audio presentation, but if you go to DoctorWhoNews.net, you'll be able to have a look at those. But yeah, the trailers are looking good. It's quite exciting. No, and we only got a couple of weeks to go to the new series. And also the fact that I haven't got any jobs on that day and I can actually watch the episode when it goes out. So that's going to be particularly exciting for me. And how many episodes is it? Does anybody know?
12.
It is 12, okay. So episode 13 will be the Christmas special, Bye Bye Capaldi, which is a bit of a shame. Yeah, really.
There we go, I've added it.
Surprisingly little news, considering.
Yeah, I had to add it to my page and then add it to the group.
What, the news?
Odd. Yeah, the news, yeah.
Says here, Debbie Melrose posted in the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Right, so one thing we haven't done for a while because we've been busy doing other things is sponsors. Now, who won?
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Many
sponsors.
Oh, and then we'll do who won first.
Jeremy's frozen. UK. He looks very serious.
Latest products at whowon.co.uk.
I'm working on something.
Yeah, right. Latest products on whowon.co.uk is Torchwood One Before the Fall. It's a big Finnish production by Joseph Lidster and all. Says London 2005, Yvonne Hartman, her from the original Torchwood.
I did my duty to God of my country.
Yeah, that one. She's based the stories around her character. Doctor Who Magazine Special Robots, £9.99. Doctor Who Magazine.
That's good.
Yeah, Doctor Who Normal Magazine, 510, as a tribute to John Hurt, Sir John Hurt. Now, this got me thinking about Beauty and the Beast. There's a few Doctor Who connections in Beauty and the Beast. One is, of course, Ian McKellen, who voices the character of Cogsworth, but also voiced the character of the Great Intelligence, I believe, if I remember getting my facts right. And also, who else? We also had Family of Blood, the father of mine, plays Mr. Potts in the film. I think that's about it, really. Anybody else think of the Doctor Who characters?
That's pretty much it for latest on there. I mean, they've got Coming Soon. I'm just trying to get onto that page.
Hang on, have you gone back to news when I'm doing the sponsors?
No. I'm looking at whowon.co.uk. They've got a Dalek teapot.
Yeah, I've got one of them. Is it the orangey thing?
It's not. It's like, it's really kind of vintage looking one. I might have to get that. Sorry, Tom.
My Dalek teapot. That's my one. I've got that one.
I don't have it.
I do, though.
I don't have it either.
Yeah, that's the Coming Soon products, whowon.co.uk. Alien Heart and Dalek Soul, which is another Big Finish story. It's the fifth Doctor Big Finish story.
Death
Brass. Pardon? What'd you say?
Death of Big Finish.
Death of Big Finish? Well, Death Brass. Have they lost the blooming contract or something?
No, Death Rass. There's a CD on here.
The Fourth Death Doctor Rass. Story. Yes. Yeah. Diamond Dogs, a book about the 12th the Doctor and Bill.
I must say, I've got a few of them and I'm not enjoying them so much.
I was talking over that. What weren't you enjoying?
The new books that they're sort of churning them out with new stories for new companions and they're just... It's just not that involving, you know, because obviously the character hasn't been released to the public domain. So they're sort of fishing for ways, you know, to sort of get the new character or the new character out in the book. And it's just not working yet because obviously we haven't got a rounded character already shown on screen.
So you've read some of this lot, have we? Have you?
Yeah, a couple of like, there's been fan fiction, and then obviously there's been a couple of printed books.
I find it difficult, the idea of writing fan fiction about a character nobody's seen.
Exactly, that's my point.
Yeah,
I'm just backing you up there,
Debbie. Sorry.
It's quite ambiguous as to which way they're going to take the character because obviously they don't know yet. So
indeed. Can't really glean much from the trailers.
It's obviously inspired a lot of people. I mean, I've written a few bits of fan fiction myself, but I'll probably never publish. But it was just it seems to have inspired quite a lot of people, and obviously with the new revelation of the sexuality of the companion is obviously going to inspire some writers as well. So it's interesting to see how fan fiction is going to turn with this new series, because I do like to keep an eye on what people are writing, obviously writing myself.
Talking of fan fiction, I'm sure I posted a while back some fan fiction on the 20 megabyte group page, actually, which I meant to sort of discuss.
Some of the fan writers are amazing. Some of the stuff you can get, like with the Final Fantasy stuff and, you know, the Star Wars stuff, some of the just them writing are just sent, putting out into the public domain. It's amazing.
Someone sent in a short story which I published on the 20 megabyte Facebook group, which you can join. Did anybody see that? It was a while back.
No, I can have a look through if you like.
A long time ago. I can't even remember when it was posted.
I like the fact Andy has developed such a great camouflage outfit that he's
I think he's fallen asleep.
He blends into the background.
Now he's back again. All right, Lavazzi, everybody, Lavazzi are still doing Doctor Who stuff, and you can still get the lovely,
I hope so,
the lovely winter hats that I was talking about at Christmas. They're still available.
I'm curious about working for them the next show if they do it. I am quite happy to.
Yeah, that's if they do it. That's a big thing if they do it. Pandorica open scarf, it's very nice. That's like $29.99. The Doctor Who knitted tie. For those people who don't like wearing scarves, but like wearing ties that look like scarves.
Well, Tom Scott's his new job soon. He might have to wear a tie. Do you
I agree. Yeah. Somebody's throwing stuff around by the sounds of things.
Hanky horseradish.
Seventh Doctor Hanky, the Paisley one. Very nice. All these things are in stock at Lavazzi. There's been a couple of instances where they've been out of stock, but they are in stock.
Yeah.
Like the Fourth Doctor tie, a scarf, sorry, and the Tardiff scarf.
TARDIS.
Well, it's made in Cardiff, isn't it? So I just got it a bit mixed up. The official Doctor Who Time Lord folding umbrella with a very nice alien landscape with a TARDIS on it. The TARDIS umbrella, the silk paisley scarf, the Seventh Doctor jumper, the shorter version of the Fourth Doctor's scarf, the longer version of the Fourth Doctor's scarf, Series 18, the Peter Davison cricket jumper, the Dalek scarf and the Series 18 burgundy scarf, all available at Lavazzi. I don't know what Andy's saying, but there we go. There we go. That's lavazzi.co.uk, where you can get really nice stuff. What on earth is going on?
We're just clearing up that door.
I was going to say.
Oh, I think Andy changed post.
The ABC to present Whovian's panel show. Jeff Waddle has written, Struth, throw Davros on the Barbie cobber.
Where did he write that? I missed that.
He's just only just done it.
Oh, is he?
I didn't watch the boat race today, and I've just found out my team won.
Who won then? I missed that.
Oxford.
Who won .co.uk?
Who won? Yeah.
we got new members of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group recently, which you can join. I'm still trying to find that fan fiction posting that was posted a while back. I'm not getting much luck with that.
Quite a while ago.
Yeah, I'll type in Daleks if that comes up with anything. I'm pretty sure it was a Dalek story. Right, I've just pressed the wrong button. Blast! Hang on. Of the Daleks, it's got to be, because if it's a Dalek story, it's got to end in of the Daleks, isn't it? Oh no, it's come up with all sorts of things here. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear.
We use the word Dalek a lot.
Yeah, but I thought the fact that I'm pretty sure this short story was called something of the Daleks, that it would come up with. Oh, I'm reckon. Oh, this is my page. I don't know what's going on here. Okay, let's welcome new members to the Running Nuke. Dear, what is going on?
Who's making that
clunk noise? Clang? It's like, being in the middle of a.
Well, it's better than being
place.
Asleep.
Right. Okay.
By the way, I have
finding up that all.
Freezes. Kirby, if you have your screen freezes, you look really serious.
I just downloaded a program that
just disappeared.
Yeah, stop downloading during the show, Kirby. That's all I can say to you. Okay, right. This is the.
I just downloaded a program that theoretically can record Skype.
Theoretically.
But I would have to close Skype to use it, so I'll wait.
Well, that works well. That's a brilliant plan.
It records Skype, but you have to close Skype. Okay.
But you can't be on it.
In order to install it.
Well, do it afterwards. Right. New members. New members. Right then. Joshua Dyball, we had him, didn't we? That was a while back.
He's been a few, yeah.
Okay, let's see if we can pick up. Baron Day Simon, Erjon Hoxha, Tommy Baker, which is not obviously the real, that's not his real name.
Really?
It's not his real name. But he is a real person, he just goes by.
He's a real person, yeah.
Honda Tohuru and Honda Tohuru and Dominic Varney. I can say that name. That's quite easy. So welcome one and all to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. Please, how many have we got now? 456 members.
Mad people.
Yes. Nice mad rather than martial mad.
Excellently mad. Yes.
And while we're on a podcast, yes. I'm going to announce that Matthew and Robert and I have started up our stories from the
So Robert and Matthew can turn up for that one.
But the trouble is Matthew posted it yesterday, and yesterday was April Fool's, and I was like, is he here?
What a donut. Exactly.
Kirby and I were sacks yesterday.
and on our episode, we review The Invisible Man, which stars John Hurt.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's a really, really good rendition of it.
I've not heard that one, so I'll have to have a look at that one. Listen, rather, not look.
Oh, I found it.
Listen to the story.
I can't see it myself.
All right.
Pardon?
What are you talking to me?
I can't see it myself.
Oh.
Because he's invisible.
Right, I found this fan fiction thingy. Which I'm just about to share to the group again. If it was shared months ago and nobody looked at it.
If you just comment on it, it'll come back up to the top of this.
I'm resharing it. There we go. I've reshared it. It's actually, should be there. It was 8th of February that came in. Who was that from? Helen Brown.
Did you share it before with Kirby?
Hey?
What? Did you share it with Kirby?
Share.
Did you reshared it?
Oh.
No, okay, I don't understand that one. Oh, share!
Yeah, come on, Adam!
It's been a long day.
It's nearly supper time and bedtime for us, isn't it? Oh,
good Lord, I didn't realise how late it was.
Yeah, 4 in the afternoon, uh-huh.
Oh, actually, that's the last thing before we depart. I have come up with an idea, maybe you may or may not like this, of starting at 6:30 instead of 7 o'clock. How does that, on Sundays, not necessarily straight away, but...
I will have to check the management.
Yeah, me too. 6:30 is a bit early.
If it is not possible, then no. But I thought it might be a good idea.
I'll check with the management.
No, I've just had a big no.
Okay, then we'll remain at 7 o'clock. It was only a suggestion.
So does that mean that our next recording, though, will be the day after the first episode?
That's what we're aiming for.
At 7 p.m.
Kirby, that'd be 1963.
it is the pilot episode.
Yes.
No, we're gonna do it. The next day. I'm confident I can watch it when it goes out and watch it again in the morning and maybe watch it again when I get because I've got enough time now to watch it.
You'll be able to come up with questions.
Yes. Debbie's frozen in laughs to state. Now she's back again. Right. So. So that's in a couple of weeks' time. So enjoy a little hiatus before we go into the new series of Doctor Who. Woohoo!
I'm going to watch the next Pertwee story, try and get ahead this time.
Well, hoping that Mr. Rhys Parton, who makes excuses for not appearing on this show because he doesn't really like classic Doctor Who, might be interested in coming back on the show for the new series.
Maybe Robert as well, because, you know...
No, Robert can't do two podcasts.
Debbie.
Why not? Why not? I mean, obviously, Robert's had his health issues, I understand.
He has.
But, you know, he's now hopefully cleared a lot of those up, so you never know. We may get Robert back.
Well, you never know. We keep our fingers crossed.
To join us, he would have to tune in at 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 a.m. Yeah.
Yes.
Fair enough. Reese, it's a couple hours after that, so...
4 o'clock in the morning.
Reese is about 4 o'clock in the morning if we record
that. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, get Robert to wake him up.
Debbie.
Yes.
If you want to get ahead on Pertwee, go join the Staggering Stories podcast.
Oh, good.
She won't know what you're talking about. The head of Pertwee is their mascot. Rather like Woolly 5 is our mascot. Shall I get Woolly 5 out?
Yes, please.
Here's Woolly 5. Oh, good. Voldemort's wand's just got caught in his pocket. There you go. Here's Woolly 5. There we go.
We've got Woolly Dalek, but upstairs at the moment. Also,
Tim Drury is doing similar to us, and he's actually about the same stage as us with Pertwee.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
It's been interesting to listen to his because he's been about 2 weeks ahead of us.
Yeah,
he's quite similar, isn't he, Kirby? Yeah.
Yeah.
But his podcast has been going longer than ours.
No, it's a nice guy. he's doing a podcast. We're having a picnic soon with Tim, in Cambridge in a couple of weeks' time.
Oh, excellent. Then you can actually tell him that there's a podcast out there called the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, because some of those established podcasters don't like snubbing us. So that'd be quite interesting on there, Andy.
Well, actually, Kirby and I actually doing our rival podcast after you fired us.
Yes.
Yeah,
the 30 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Yeah, that's it, yes.
I think I established it was called the 100 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
The Doctor Who Podcast of 20 Megabytes, we're going to call it.
Yeah, we couldn't get rid of you, could we? Here you are.
Yeah, that's it. Can't fire me.
Right. Joshua Dyball says, can never work out how you're doing it. Doing what? Podcasting. So that's a very good question. I don't know. I can never work it out myself.
We haven't got a clue what we're doing either, do we?
Well, I managed to do a screen capture of Deb's face there, which was really, really worth posting on the thing about making my page in a minute. But anyway, so that's in couple of weeks' time. New series of Doctor Who. That's going to be grand. So until then, anon or goodbye, whatever you want to say.
Goodbye,
Theatre. Goodbye,
Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast is an APV Services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.